It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus as we continue this study, Exodus chapter 37, and we're going to begin reading with the 17th verse. We have covered part of that, the 17th through the 19th, but we're going to begin with the 17th verse. Exodus chapter 37, verse 17, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. So please that you would open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. It's a wonderful opportunity we have to open the Word of God and prepare for the study today. So now we begin reading Exodus chapter 37, verse 17. And he made the candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work made he the candlestick. His shaft and his branch, his bowls and his knops, his flowers were of the name of the same. And the six branches going out of the sides thereof, three branches of the candlestick out of one side thereof, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. Three bowls made after the fashion of the almonds in one branch, one knop and a flower, and three bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower, so throughout the six branches going out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick were four bowls, made like almonds, his knops and his flowers, and the knop under two branches of the same, and the knop under two branches of the same, and the knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches going out of it. Their knops and their branches were the same. All of it was one beaten work of pure gold. And he made his seven lamps, and his snuffers, and his snuff dishes of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold made he it, and all the vessels thereof. And he made the incense altar of acacia wood, and the length of it was a cubit, and the breadth of it was a cubit. It was foursquare, two cubits was the height of it. The horns thereof were of the same. And he overlaid it with the pure gold, both the top of it and the sides thereof round about. And the horns of it also he made unto it a crown of gold round about. And he made two rings of gold for it under the crown thereof, by the two corners of it, up on the two sides thereof, to be places for the staves to bear it withal. And he made the staves of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. I think that we'll just stop there right now. And if we may get into that 29th verse, but let's just begin with this. And now we'll start with prayer, as we always do. Father, please, that you will guide and lead us and show us your way and will. It's so important today that we can enjoy this study and be together as we look at these verses of Scripture. It's just so important that we know them, that we study them. We need to understand that this is the Scripture, that the Word that God has given us. It is His precious Word. So please, dear Lord, that you will guide and lead us now through it. Help us to see exactly what we need to learn today. It is so important to know that the picture of this tabernacle is a picture of you, and it helps us to see you and know you and understand our life in you as well. So please, dear Father, guide and lead us. Those that are saved, please today that you will show them the strength and the power that they possess by having salvation in you. Please, dear Lord, that you would show those that do not know you as their Savior that they need a Savior. It's the only hope that they have. It's the only prayer that they have is to pray to you and ask you to forgive them of their sin and set them free from it and set them on a road, on a life and a way of righteousness and peace and joy. So please, dear Lord, help us to do that. Help us to study your word and enjoy the fellowship together with each other. Please, guide and lead us today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have in this scripture verse here, we've been talking about the golden candlestick. Sometimes I refer to it as lampstand. It's one of the same. And so if you hear me say one or the other, why, don't be confused by that. But as we look at these verses of scripture here, we see something that's very beautiful. And out of this, out of the different pieces of furniture that we have, the table of showbread, the Ark of the Covenant, the incense altar, all these things, they have acacia wood overlaid with gold. And we know that that speaks of his humanity and also his deity. The gold, of course, the deity and the wood of his humanity, something that is not perfect and everlasting. And that God gives us these beautiful pictures. A couple of verses of scripture that we looked at, and they're wonderful to repeat. And one is John chapter 9, verse 5, "I am the light of the world." We need to understand that our Savior is the light of the world. He is the only light this world has. This world as we know it is in total darkness. And you say, well, Larry, the sun comes up and the moon comes up and things like that. That's of nature. But as far as spiritually concerned, this world is spiritually in spiritual darkness. And the only light that will do any good, the only light that we can ever have is the light that comes from Jesus. And so you need to realize that and recognize that the wonderful light that I have as a believer in Jesus Christ is the light that I get from my Lord. He is the light of the world. This world is in total darkness, and he comes with light. Darkness hates light, and so that's the reason that much of the world and many people of the world, and maybe you included, that you don't like the Lord Jesus. You want nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. Well, my friend, you must have something to do with Jesus, because there'll be a day that he will become your judge. And so whether you accept him today and you bow down before him and you begin this wonderful walk together, or you bow down before him after your physical death, because there will be a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Oh, to do it today and have the advantages of it, or to wait, my friend, until tomorrow when it may be too late. And so today is the day of salvation. But I love that verse of scripture, John 9:5. I am the light of the world. Also, Psalms 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that's exactly what my Lord is to me. And when we are in a place of total darkness, we must have this light. And so we have looked at the light, the fixture here that we have, this lampstand, this candlestick. We have looked somewhat at its making, at how it is built. We know that God has placed in the hearts of these craftsmen the ability to put this together exactly the way the Lord would want it to be represented. You'll notice that we have no pictures. You'll notice that we have nothing that helps us to recreate this, for us to build this, if you have noticed that. And so as we have begin to recognize that ourselves, you will realize that we are not to recreate this. We are not to build this. This is something, my friend, that is to for the purpose of these folks at this time. We are not to recreate one of these and have it in our churches or in our homes or anything else. You know, we have a bad habit of that. We have a bad habit of trying to reproduce these things. We have just enough information here so that we can understand the picture, understand what it represents. and not that we should rebuild it. We look at the branches and the shaft, the bowls, the knops, the flowers. We don't really know what all those things mean. You have seen pictures, I'm sure, of this lampstand that people have thought it looked like. Some of it has come up through the tradition of the Jews, which the Jews would definitely know what it originally looked like. Their ancestors would have seen it. But we know that as one story goes through one individual to another, you only have to go down through about a half dozen people till the story is completely changed. And I think that this is probably the same way. What we see of this today probably is nothing of the way it looked. It doesn't really matter other than we know it was most beautiful. It is different than the incense altar that we're going to get to, the table of showbread that we've been through, and also the Ark of the Covenant. Is different than those things because those things all possessed wood. They all held wood, and then it was overlaid with gold. This candlestick is pure gold. It is completely gold. There's no part, no wood in it. It is all the deity of God. And also we have with the oil that we have in these little bowls, the oil that burns, that gives us this beautiful, brilliant light. This oil that burns, of course, we know, and we have looked at the oil being and representing the Holy Spirit. And so without the Holy Spirit, we have no light. Without our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no salvation. And so here we come into this place, this holy place, a place of fellowship and proceeding on to worship. And that's what we get to when we get to this incense altar. But right now we're just feeding upon the table of showbread, but we're able to see everything that we need to see. We can see this because of the light that we have. And you need to understand that that's exactly the way a believer has an opportunity to walk in this life, because we can see the light. We have the light. We're able to see our steps ahead of us here. And I'm not trying to tell you that I can read the future. I can't. I have, you know, the soothsayers and all that say they can tell my future, they are liars. They're just guessing. Our God, my God, knows tomorrow. He knows the next step I'm going to take, and He can prepare me for it. And as I walk with Him each day, He will lead me. And so it's wonderful to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ by His light. And so understand, in this holy place, 15 by 30 by 15 foot walls, the only light that's in here is this lampstand. The only light that a believer should be following, should be watching, should be a part of it. The only light is the light of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we looked up last time we were together, we've talked about some things that the outside world, the light offers. On the outside, it offers the human reason, philosophy, and speculation. You wonder, you think on this, and then you finally decide, okay, this is what I'm going to follow. Well, if you're following the light of the Lord Jesus, you will have the joy of Him leading you. And the human reasoning has no place there. Philosophy has no room. And then we don't need to speculate because we have the Word of God. And when you possess those things, then it blinds you from the truth. It blinds you from the fact that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you. You are blinded to the means of salvation, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. You're blinded to all those things. And so, please that you, instead of trusting in the philosophy and trusting in your religion or your education, you will please come and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity we have. And so we look and we've seen now this piece of furniture, this candlestick. Now, what it is something that is in the It has three branches on each side. The three branches on each side is something that we can see, so it comes to a total of six. We just touched on that last time we were together. We have the center post, the center stem, and then everything comes off of that. And so as all this comes off of that, then we have the three on each side, total of six. Three and three is six. One in the middle is the seventh. We have talked about that the number six in the Scripture always stands for man. And so we also know that the number one stands for the deity of Christ. And so we have in his sovereignty. And so as we look now at this, this not only represents our opportunity and our ability to learn and to know, it also represents the church, because we are in Christ. This center stem, again, we don't know exactly how it was built, but this center stem comes right up through. And when it comes up through the center, everything is attached to that. And you see, we need to see that all is attached to this. And it's very simple, very easy that we can see this. All is attached to this one center stem. And so if you're really a believer in Jesus Christ, you too are attached. You too have come together to this one place. And we need to see that, and we need to know that. What a wonderful opportunity we have in Jesus. And so as we look now, I want you to see that we have the opportunity to be in Christ, be nourished by the Holy Spirit, and be kept forever. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And so what a wonderful work, and I hope that you can see this as we look now at this part here. So it's just a wonderful picture, and we're just a couple of things here. As this clear picture comes, the candlestick is a picture of the church. Christ is the head of it. We as believers are the members. We are one in Christ, and we're one with Christ. This candlestick receives all of its light. It produces, all of it comes from the oil, the Holy Spirit, not from any outside light. So you see, we too should be led. We should have our guidance from the Holy Spirit and not from the philosophies of this world, from this outside light. Do you see that? Can you? I hope that you can understand that. So we looked now at a talent of pure gold made he it, and all the vessels thereof is the 24th verse. And so once again, I'm just going to read very quickly here as we will finish this lampstand, but I want you to get a feeling for it. I want you to see it in your mind, not to go build it, but to see its importance and how it works. And here's this beautiful lampstand sitting on the side, lighting up this room that we may be fed and then find our way on to this incense altar, which is next. And so, again, just a couple of verses here. He made the candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work, made he the candlestick. His shaft and his branch and his bowls and his knops and his flowers were of the same. That's the 17th verse. And then in the 23rd verse, the 23rd verse, and he made his seven lamps and his seven snuffers and his seven snuff dishes of pure gold, of a talent of pure gold made he it, and all the vessels thereof. What a beautiful picture that we see here of all this gorgeous construction of this piece of furniture here, lighting up the room. The Holy Spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit shows us everything of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. That's his purpose. And so you can see the connection between the lampstand being pure gold, the deity of Christ, also the Holy Spirit as that light comes forward. And so what a beautiful picture. And so again, it's showing us the table of showbread for the feeding of the Word of God. Now this next article, the fifth article, is the incense altar. And the 25th verse, and he made the incense altar of acacia wood, the length of it 1 cubit, the breadth of it a cubit. It was 4 square, and 2 cubits was the height of it, and the horns thereof were of the same. So we now have this incense altar, also known as a prayer altar. So as we take just a few minutes to look at that now, as before the time is out, this wonderful piece of furniture, again, we have the same things. We have the acacia wood, and we have it overlaid with gold on the 26th verse, and he overlaid it with pure gold. Let's look at the size of this. We find it to be made the incense altar of acacia wood, the length of it 1 cubit. So you see that would be 18 inches. That would be of the length. Now you look at 18 inches, the breadth of it a cubit. It is 4 square, so we find it to be 1.5 feet in size. And so you just kind of take your hands and you can see this is not a very big piece of furniture. And then we find it to be 2 cubits and 18, and again we're just kind of guessing here as we look at the that a cubit is 18 inches, but that is approximately. And so you'll find that to be 36 inches. And so now we have it to be 3 foot. And so it's 3 foot high, and it's 1.5 feet wide. And so it is higher than the rest of the furniture. We don't know about the lampstand because we don't know of its size. That's something you see that maybe I didn't cover this time. Last time we did. We don't know at all the dimensions of this. We have no idea the size. We have the weight of it, but we do not have the size at all, because you see, all are welcome. There is no one that is exempt, no one that is held from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ for any reason. Jesus accepts all, and his size, his strength is mighty enough to do just that. So we have the size, 3 foot high, 1.5 feet square. We have that it's made of wood and gold, which is, again, the humanity and the deity. We have the location of this. It is between the lampstand and the table of showbread. And so what a wonderful location for this incense altar. We find it to be before the veil. It is in the holy place. And so as we come to look at this piece of furniture, this wonderful piece of furniture, we have many things that we're going to talk about, because we have the mercy seat before it. And if you would just draw a straight line, you'll come, and let's start at the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, and we'll come through the veil. All right, you're going to draw a line right through this incense altar, and you're going to come right and go through the outer veil that goes into the courtyard, and now we're going to be crossing through the laver and through the brass altar, the brazen altar. Now, as you draw that line, you can also come forwards now, and let's put the lampstand on one side, the table of showbread on the other, put it across from this incense altar. Now, let's go from the lampstand, and let's draw a line, and you're going to go right straight through the middle of that incense altar, and you're going to go right through the table of showbread. Now, as you look at that, what do you see? You see a cross, don't you? And that's what this all stands for, is the cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus paid the ultimate price for our sin and died on the cross that you and I can live. What a wonderful opportunity we have as we look at this precious word. Now, Let's backtrack now. Let's go through that long stem, and let's start back at the brazen altar. You see, my friend, you cannot get to the incense altar. You can't get to the Ark of the Covenant, to the presence of God, unless you come through that altar. You must trust in Jesus Christ, and that piece of furniture alone, the brazen altar, stands for the cross, too, because that's where the offering is, the sacrifice. But because of all this picture that we have, it does show us the wonderful life that we can have in Jesus. And so now it's come, and we go to the next, up the line. We came to the brazen altar, a brazen laver. Remember, the washing takes place there. And then we come and we run into this incense altar. But before we really come to there, we can find our way there because of the lampstand. It's shining so brightly across the incense altar over to the table of showbread. We feed upon the Word. We learn so much more about our Savior and what we're to be and who we're to be. And then here sets this incense altar in the middle. So you see, when we come to this incense altar, it is made of gold. The gold is overlaid, the kishu wood first, then overlaid with gold. How about the brazen altar? That brazen altar is brazen, brass, and then overlaid it's a kishu wood overlaid with brass. Now, as we look at those things, we need to see that that brings us to a beautiful picture. This means death at the brazen altar. This golden altar, it speaks of Christ, of course, his deity, and it speaks of his living resurrection, and it also, with the incense that goes heavenward always, that speaks of our ascended Lord, because our prayers have a home, and that home is to the ear of our God, to our Savior, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, just quickly, there is no fire underneath this to burn this incense. The incense is burnt. It gets its power, gets its ability to burn and to give this sweet odor from the coals of the brazen altar. Oh, what a picture. My friend, you can't get anywhere unless you come by the way of the cross. You've got to come through Jesus Christ to get to this place here. What a beautiful picture that we have, this intercession that we have, this ability, this opportunity to come to our Savior. These two altars, the brazen altar and the incense altar, one speaks of his death, the other tells us of his resurrection. And we have several verses of Scripture that we're going to look up. Hebrews chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then we may go back to Exodus chapter 30 just for a little bit. So, my friend, we have many verses of Scripture to look up, but I hope that you enjoy this study as we're looking at this incense altar. And we will start there the next time we get together and then move on from there. My friend, it's wonderful to study God's Word. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?